You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM with Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Fakenham and Lingfield on the domestic front, so action over the obstacles and on the all-weather poly track. And there's two meetings over in Ireland as well, jumps action from Navan and Thurles. Some good racing over the Irish Sea as well with a grade two on the card at Navan. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Pretty good, thank you, Mark.
Good man. We're going to start with a quick look back at the highlights from Saturday, and then we'll get stuck into what's happening on Sunday. So we'll start with the big race of the afternoon, James, at Ascot, the Long Walk Hurdle, a race that's been won by some World Hurdle winners in the past, the likes of Big Bucks and Thistle Crack and Barracuda and the like. You know what I mean, Harry was this year's winner, won by 4.5 lengths, beating Lil Rockefeller and Untompore 2. The result doesn't tell the whole story as well, because Ballyoptic was heavily involved coming to the last. 6-5 on Saturday and won. He's now 2-1 favourite for the World Hurdle. What did you make of the performance from the Harry Fry runner?
Well, with the foggy conditions that prevailed all day today, we didn't actually see a great deal of the race, but every time we did have pictures, you know what I mean, Harry was always travelling strongly. Unfortunately, the last hurdle was obscured, so we weren't exactly 100% sure what was happening at the last. Ballyoptic obviously slivered on landing to give, you know what I mean, Harry, an uncontested lead from the last. I think he probably would have won anyway just because of the way he was travelling, but it would have been pretty close. Ballyoptic, again, unlucky today. Didn't really make much of a mistake. Just lost his back end, and he was running an absolute cracker for Nigel Twiston Davis and Richard Johnson. He would have been runner-up, but that did leave Lil Rockefeller to finish second. He's had a cracking season, obviously, second to Yarmouth here at Ascot the time before. Very consistent, whatever the trip. But he does provide a bit of a guide to the form in that he's not quite top class. So the Irish may have stronger candidates, but we don't really know what's running in the main race. So for me, he's definitely the best British horse we've got in it. Just depends on what takes him on at Cheltenham, to be honest, but he's certainly a worthy favourite for me at the moment.
2-1 on the back of the race for the World Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival. A couple of other highlights from the weekend action from the Saturday. Just staying at Ascot for a second or two. Big 35-40 minutes for Barry Geraghty there, because on the back of his win on, you know what I mean, Harry, he then went and won on a big price winner in the Lavazza Jolly Silver Cup Handicap Chase. Royal Encore, the winner there, beat Minella Dandy and Tenor Nivernay at 20-1. So hard to find with the respect
exactly.
Pulled up on a number of occasions beforehand. But a good winner on the day, quicking up nicely in the end.
Yeah, well, congratulations to anybody that found him. Last six starts, 5 times he's been pulled up, and one completion. Was a good second at Punchestown, to be fair to him, back in the spring. Trainer says he's had excuses, made a mistake at Cheltenham, but he'd never really go in. Same in the Hennessy on his first run of the season. He's only dropped £3, to be fair to him, so it wasn't exactly particularly well handicapped. Again, the fog meant it was very, very hard to see, but he appeared to make up a lot of progress for being in a very unpromising position. He's a classy horse in his day. He's always had a lot of ability. Hardly thought of by the Honeyball team, which is why J.P. McManus owned him. Perhaps never quite been as good as what they hoped, but he certainly picked up the pieces today, and that was a £56,000 to the winner, so it was a nice prize to win.
Yeah. Anything else stand out to you at Ascot?
And Ascot, Brain Power obviously won the big hurdle of the day, the finale. He, again, the fog meant it wasn't a great spectacle, but he travelled well. He followed up his Sandown success, and once again he confirmed the form with Consola Tay. He were first and second at Sandown a couple of weeks ago, first and second again today. Golden Spear perhaps had a little bit too much to do. Tony Martin's runner. It's not been that easy to make up a lot of ground today in this kind of ground, so he wasn't disgraced, but Brain Power is a pretty decent individual. Where he goes next, that'd be a slight question mark, because he probably isn't quite chiming hurdle class, but he certainly proved a very good handicap hurdler this year.
Yeah, if my memory serves me correctly, I'm just trying to find out. I think Nicky Anderson has a very good record in that race anyway.
Yep.
I think this is his fourth winner of the race.
And a 1-2 today.
Yeah, so another good day for Nicky Henderson there. Let's talk about some of the action at Haydock as well. Some good racing there on the domestic front. Standout performance for you of the day at Haydock?
Weather there, he won the novice chase, beating Cloudy Dream. Nick Henderson ran out and finished third in the Supreme last year at Cheltenham, the only time he tasted defeat behind Altior. And he was impressive on chase debut, to be honest. Cloudy Dream is a useful individual from the Malcolm Jefferson stable, one of the North's future stars. But he was given £8 to a very, very decent individual, and he took full advantage. So that was a cracking effort. Splash Gins, great to see him back in the winner's enclosure in a slightly lower grade handicap hurdle than what he normally runs in, but it was good to see him win. And Yala Enki, a nice winner there for Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch. Venetia's horses always get going when they hit soft ground, and she's probably a trainer to follow now. It's her time of year.
One that I just want to mention as well from Fairy House, York Hill made a winning chase debut, 1-8 in the market, so not going to get Rich back in him today. Won easily though, won by 14 lengths, and has been given quotes for the JLT and the Arkle. For the JLT, he is 3-1 favourite, York Hill, ahead of Altior and American Tom, who are 6-1 and 8-1 respectively. Bouvardaire also in there at 8-1, another one that you mentioned on the look back at Saturday's action. And for the Arkle, he is 4-1 second favourite for the Arkle, behind Altior, who's 6-4 at the top of the market for that one. If it was yours, James, what would be the target?
I think you've got to probably enter him in a couple of the races, because obviously these jump horses are a little bit fragile. You never know exactly who's going to be going where. You've got to keep your options open, which is what Willie Mullins does. I know it's disappointing for punters they don't have a clear target at the start of the season as such, but when you've got that many horses going for these races, you've got to keep your options open. I think perhaps the 2.5 mile version perhaps could be better for him, but like I say, it was a very encouraging first start to his chase career. Obviously he was much better than the rest, which is why he was 8-1 on, but he couldn't have done the job any better. Did jump left a couple of times, so you have to watch out for that, I think, on his next start. But job done today for Ruby Walsh, Willie Mullins in York Hill.
Anything else catch your eye? Anything else you want to mention before we get stuck into Sunday?
Battalion won nicely at Lingfield. Jamie Osmond's picked him up for a fun winter campaign, and he won the listed race quite nicely at 9-2, and he'll be a fun one to keep an eye on throughout the winter.
Right, well, let's leave that there then. Let's move on to Sunday's action. We've got James to have a look at four races for us. We'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
On to Sunday then, and we start at Navan in the 12:45, one of the big races of the afternoon. It's the Navis Novice Hurdle. It's a grade 2 over 2.5 miles. A field of 7 will go to post for this one, and Navan is the high 5 meeting on Sunday, so do keep that in mind. If your horse wins by 5 lengths or more, you get a 25% win bonus, and if it comes second beaten by 5 lengths or more, you get your money back as a free bet. What are your thoughts in the race, James? Who do you think will win it?
This is very competitive, isn't it? Only 7 runners, but there's not one of them that you could say definitely doesn't have much hope, to be fair. Death Duty, probably the form horse, to be honest, for Gordon Elliott and Brian Cooper. Won a grade 3 pretty nicely last month, and like I say, sets the standard, but I really like Invitation Only as a racehorse. 4 from 4, an Irish point to point, 2 bumpers, and then won very nicely on hurdle debut last time out, when a 4-1 on shot at Goran Park. We don't exactly know how far he can go. Death Duty has been beaten a couple of times. Invitation Only is unbeaten. For me, that could be key. Willie Mullins will be keen set to get another big race in the bag. And for me, he's just a nice type, and I'll be sticking with him. Getting £3 from Death Duty, it's quite a bit of weight that he is receiving. An eye catcher would be Gordon Elliott's other runner, La Bake, who refused to race last time, which was unfortunately what he used to do on the flats. And it appeared that jumping and sweetening him up. But this horse has a lot of ability, and if he jumps off, and unfortunately that's a big if, he could be dangerous. Another Gordon Elliott runner owned by JP McManus. Baltazar Dallier is unbeaten. He's won both his outings so far. Looked very useful winning at Nace. Gordon Elliott's got 3 in the race, and I think Willie Mullins has got a potential superstar as well. So really strong stuff. Definitely listening to William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow for the 12:45 at Navan. Excellent contest, but I'm going to be sticking with Invitation Only.
invitation only then for James in the 12:45, a real cracking race to look forward to. On the Sunday, we move to Fakenham next. Action on these shores over the obstacles. It's the 1:45 at Fakenham that we look at, a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. A field of 8 set to go to post for this one, James. And we'll start with Cody Wyoming, who arrives here in winning form.
Yeah, Cody Wyoming got a job done at Lingford last time. He is a little bit inconsistent, but when he's on form, he's a hard horse to beat. And he loves sharp left-handed tracks, so Fakenham should suit. It is his first one at a track. And it's one that's pretty unique, but he's got form. It's similar. Top weight, though, 11.7.13. He perhaps could be vulnerable. Although the one I'm going for, a Drumley Lad, is also rated 1.25. So he's only actually getting a pound. But this one's been in very good form for Johnny Farrelly. He won nicely on chase debut at Sedgefield and was a really strong second at Doncaster. It was a stronger race than this last time out. He's just got a bit of a class edge, I think. He's only 6 years old. Cody Wyoming is a 10-year-old. Racty Man's 9. A few of these are getting on a bit. He's a young horse, Drumley Lad. And I think he could take a lot of beating in this contest. He's the one for me. If I was at a price, William Hill's very own Andrew Thornton takes a ride on Noble Legend at the bottom of the race. Waits. He won this race last year for a similar profile. He was £8 higher on that occasion. And he slightly suggests he might be running back in the form when third last time out. So Noble Legend, keep an eye out for him if you want one at a price, but I'm going to stick with a Drumley Lad as the main selection.
Drumley Lad, then the selection for James. Would love to see Noble Legend win for Andrew Thornton. He's only 3 away from the
He's getting closer and closer. Edging there.
Yeah, it'd be great to see that happen. Let's move on to the 2:05 at Lingfield next. A mile and a quarter handicap here. 3-year-olds and older in the lineup. Field of 10 set to go to post here. James Van Huysen arrives here in decent enough form. Has won 2 of his last 3 starts. Returned from a little bit of a break last time to win at Lingfield over this course and distance. Only won a neck, though. Is the handicapper starting to catch up?
Possibly, but he's a type that just keeps doing enough. Dominic French Davis, his runner, Van Huysen. He's won 4 from his last 8 starts. Loves Lingfield. And he's only £3 higher, and he could just be this type of horse that just keeps doing enough, to be honest. I'd say he loves the track, and he's definitely a horse that's on the up. A lot of these are not. They're kind of exposed, and that's probably why I'm going to stick with Van Huysen. Nice draw in stall 1 as well. Should be perfectly positioned by Sean Levy. So for me, he's definitely the one to beat. This race is interesting for the fact that 4 of the field are having their first run for new trainers. Ansab for Marjorie Fife, Modernism for Ian Williams, Zane Emperor for John Butler, and Spin Point for Ian Williams. So there's plenty of horses that could certainly improve for the change of scenery. So it's a little bit of a tricky race to assess. But of those, the most eye-catching one is probably Spin Point for Ian Williams. Has been off a track for a long time, but was trained by Jim Bolger over in Ireland. Quite a classy individual. And if a little bit of money comes for Spin Point, that could be very, very interesting. But I think Van Huysen sets the standard. Is definitely going to be one to beat. Of the others, Dutch Uncle, he's dropping grade a little bit. Not a bad fourth at Kempton 11 days ago. He's dangerous, and he's another alternative. But Van Huysen, I think, is the one to keep with in the very competitive 2:05 at Lingfield.
Van Huysen there then for James. And then the final race we look at is the 2:10 at Thurles. And this one is a mare's novices hurdler, a listed race over 2 miles. Field of 5 to go to post for this one, James. Some nice mares in there. And none more so than Astheoria, who made a big impression on her reappearance. Many will expect her to follow up here.
A mare's hurdle, where else do you look but Willie Mullins, to be honest, isn't it, really? And the fact is, this is his only runner in the contest. He's farmed these mares races since they've been upgraded in the last couple of seasons. And Astheoria could be another very decent type. Won a 15-runner novice at Fairy House very, very easily last time. Looks at a very classy mare by Saga City. And Paul Towner takes a ride. I think she's going to be very, very hard to beat. Of the others, Shattered Love is consistent for Gordon Elliott and Giggington House Stud. A good second in a listed mare's race at Punchdown last time. Certainly got the form in this kind of grade, but is vulnerable to an improver, and that's what Astheoria is. And I think we'll find out more tomorrow where she ranks in the Willie Mullins mares. But she's a chosen one tomorrow, and I think she'll get the job done quite easily.
Superb, as usual, James. Just a bit of a quick summary before you go then. Do you want to confirm your selections for us for Sunday's racing?
Yeah, I think it could be a good day over in Ireland for Willie Mullins, as usual. I think invitation only could be a potential superstar, but he runs in a very competitive Grade 2 hurdle at 12:45, but he is a selection. The 145 at Fakenham, we're going to go for Drum Lee Ladd for Johnny Farrelly and Brendan Power. A good second in a stronger race than this at Doncaster last time. He can resume winning ways. 205 at Lingfield, we're going to go for the solid Van Huysen. 4 from 8 recently. He can get a job done once again. And finally, in the 210, we're sticking with Willie Mullins in the Mayor's division, and Asturia can get the job done.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
No worries.
There you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:05 PM with Ollie Pimlott, Paddy Aspel and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Fakenham and Lingfield on the domestic front, and two meetings over in Ireland as well. Navan and Thurles will get the best of that in along the way. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.